Big weekend of sport. Somebody did earlier on just text in the word Wolves and nothing else, and I do not want to talk about that. But there was other stuff going on, particularly on a national level. Darren Cleary from Today FM Sport and offtheball.com has joined us. Hello, Darren.
Good morning. It's Samantha, you never want to talk about United on weekend, or United don't do well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Welcome to my world. I'm a fan.
Dumped unceremoniously out of the cup.
Wolves were amazing. United were terrible. End of discussion required.
Don't worry, I've only got Barcelona to worry about
next.
Yeah,
fine, fine. So a big weekend of sport. What was the first thing that kind
of caught
your eye?
Let's talk about rugby because it left such a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, particularly poor Rory Best, who was playing his last game in a green jersey and had to just put up with losing to 25-7.
Yeah, and the worst thing about it is 25-7 actually kind of flatters us.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been 32-0.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way it was going. I had the highest hopes for it because the France performance was improved. It felt like things were back on track. I think we all probably read too much into the fact that Ireland played well, but France are awful.
Mm.
Like, they've been consistently awful for this tournament, bar one half in their third game where they actually looked like a decent French team. They played a lot of kids and we probably read too much into it. After 70 seconds when the Welsh go over, you know it's going to be a long day for Ireland. I think the most disappointing part of it is how stubborn they stuck to their game plan when they weren't going well. Like, at 10-0 down, we have a chance to kick for the posts, get a score on the board, just take the three and see where we go. But instead it was like, let's kick the touch, let's see if we can do something off the line out. And we get turned over and straight away the pressure is all back on Ireland. Mm. And that would have lifted Wales so much to see us just steadfastly refusing to change the game plan, even though it wasn't working.
Who makes that call? Is that Joe up with his headphones up in the thing, or is that Johnny on the pitch, or Rory, or...
I think Johnny knows that Joe will be expecting him to take what would be the ambitious route, which is the highest risk, but also the highest payoff, which is getting a converted try. And that's what the aim was. But it was clear that conditions were troubling. They were really hard on both teams, and that kind of attacking zip, it wasn't there, particularly with the rain. So
we asked for the roof to be open, so we brought it all on ourselves in terms of, you know, you can't complain about the conditions if you chose them, because it could have closed the roof and played in the nice dry.
Yeah, and we had the argument about the roof last week where Wales demanded that they can close the roof and create this unbelievable environment. We were like, nope, roof open. We're going to let the environment in to get the environment out. And we preferred the rain than the noise, and that was a bad call. Well, that shows a sign, I think, of mental weakness as well. Because you're saying, I don't want to play in a hostile atmosphere. I'd rather battle the elements.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, you know, we're going to rely on things outside of ourselves to try and make this game go our way. You know, instead of going, no, bring it. We're the best in the world.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
We're saying goodbye to one Irish Rory and Rory Best, but Rory McIlroy did something pretty amazing on the run-up to the Masters.
I mean, it's brilliant for him because his form so far this year has been pretty spectacular. He's chasing that career Grand Slam, as you mentioned, the Masters. Top six in his first six tournaments this year, which is really hard to do.
Yeah, this is what he had to say about it after he won.
It means a lot. You know, I knew today was going to be difficult just by looking at the forecast. But the good thing is it wasn't just difficult for me, it was difficult for everyone else. You know, I think all the experiences I've had over the last few weeks in terms of trying to win and not getting over the line definitely helped me today. You know, maybe if I hadn't have had those experiences, I wouldn't be sitting up here with this trophy. So, you know, I'm thankful and grateful for those experiences I've had this year. Yes, it would have been nice to maybe get another win, but it sort of made it all worth it, the fact that, you know, this win has come at this golf tournament.
Right, so he wasn't winning. He was, as you said, top six, but wasn't winning, and now he's got his win.
Yeah, people questioned his mental fortitude as well, and the fact that he was in the mix, he was stringing three and a half good rounds together and then falling short on the final day. People were saying that might have been a little bit of a sign of weakness. I think it's the opposite. I think the concentration needed to go wire to wire at these big tournaments and play that well across four consistent days, incredibly difficult. I think what he's done is really, really impressive, and at 100% is great for the Masters. He's gone straight in now as the favourite.
Yeah,
he's gone above Dustin Johnson, so it's huge for McIlroy. That career Grand Slam, I think it has been something that's weighed so heavy on him, because when he won the first three majors, we're all thinking, well, look, this kid's gonna get five, he's gonna get six, he's gonna get seven. And his career just didn't pan out like that. In golf, it often doesn't go out the way you wanted to.
Exciting tournament too. I watched it at home, and that par 3 17th over the water was just great crack to watch. And a few holes in one there as well.
I mean, it was you were watching it always hoping for the worst possible scenario to happen. Yeah. It's like, I've never wanted someone to fail as much then on that hole. Yeah. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think it does really, really put him in, himself in contention, and the belief he will take, I think he takes a lot of belief from those top six finishes too. Not only the fact that he went close in the Arnold Palmer and people were saying, does he have the mental for it? But the fact that he went, he put a lot of birdies in on the last day. I think four birdies in the closing stretch would really, really help him to hold Furyk off. But it's a solid performance, and one where you'd wonder, is this the best golf of McIlroy's career? Because even when he was winning majors, the consistency wasn't there in the other tournaments. Like, he wasn't going and shooting the lights out.
Well, speaking of consistency, no one shows it like our Katie Taylor. And here she is talking after her victory over the weekend.
Yeah, she had, actually had a bit of pop in her eye hand. I felt it definitely in the first round. But yeah, she went down with a punch. I kind of sputtered myself down a bit. I have to learn to compose myself when I do actually work these girls. I kind of rush in and get a bit too excited. But no, she's a tough girl, and to stop an unbeaten opponent like that was the icing on the cake, really.
So what's that? That's three belts.
Three belts, and the first Irish fighter to hold three world titles at the same time in the four belt era. So she's just missing one.
Yeah, she is. She's got the WBA, the IBF, and the WBO. The WBC is the last stumbling block. And when she gets that, and I don't think it's an if, I think it's when, she will then be the undisputed champion of the world.
It's a bit like getting like Bussars, Shannon Airport, Dublin Airport, and what's the other one?
Cork.
No, on the Monopoly board.
Oh,
I thought you meant going to them in one day.
I was like, what's this Irish tradition I've never heard
challenge.
Of?
Great challenge.
Yeah. Can you visit four terrible places?
On the Monopoly board. Yeah. So she's just one away. She's missing Bussars, basically.
It's so great for her, because I saw the documentary, it's on Netflix now, the Katie documentary.
Brilliant.
And from the place she came from, where she was just, she looked broken and beaten after the Olympics. It just, she never reached the standards and the expectations she set for herself. She had to kind of change all of the goals she had left for sport, not professional sport, but sport in general. And to conquer the game in this fashion is incredible. And what it is for women's boxing, what it does for women's boxing, can't be understated as well, because she has put it on the map, not just as an amateur, but now she's done it, and she's drawing money, bums on seats.
Absolutely.
That's what matters in professional sports, and she's a draw.
Little bit of controversy about a possible head nudge that split her opponent's face open.
Yeah, it's never nice when you see blood, and you know, people who don't watch too many combat sports, when they kind of zip in just to give the support to their own compatriot, that's when they might be a bit surprised by it. Some people felt that there was more in it than there was. I think it was a clash. They happen. We don't see as many of them in Katie's amateur career, because obviously the head guard would prevent that. I didn't think there was too much in it. I was surprised by some of the controversy that came from it, because it's an occupational hazard. Yeah. Obviously the referee has a duty of care to both fighters, but she wanted to continue, so I don't think there's any issue there.
Darren, thanks so much. All great Irish success stories over the weekend. It's brilliant to be able to talk about them.
Except
the rugby.
But
in fairness, well done to Scotland, because he cheered me right up after.
That's class. Yeah, so enjoyed good. That so much.
All right, Darren, thanks a million. 087-4100-102 for your thoughts and your chance to win €1,500. Fresher looking, isn't that it? ECS on the way in a couple of minutes' time. Dermot and Dave on Today FM.